We're so thankful that God has blessed us to see the first Lord's Day in 2020. So good to see all of the saints that are gathered here that we may worship God in spirit and in truth, but most of all to acknowledge that He is God and from whence all of our blessings flow. And we're thankful to Him, for He is better to us than we are to ourselves. So good to have those of you visiting with us. As I look out, I see the red roses. That's an indication that you are visiting with us. Know that you're very special. We thank you for choosing to be with us on this Lord's Day. Hope that you have enjoyed the service as I have. Appreciate that singing, just beautiful singing, and also the wonderful prayers that have gone up on our behalf and the excellent way our men have led us and served us in the communion. Now, I know this is the first Lord's Day of 2020, and I hope and pray that the lesson that I have chosen this morning will be a source of encouragement to all of us, that we will be very positive about the expectations that this year is going to bring us. I know a lot of negative things have happened, and there are so many things that can cause us to be pessimistic about the future. Amen. But God would not have given us 2020 if He did not have great expectations from His people. And so I don't focus on the negative. I don't focus on those things that have transpired that cause us to lose our confidence. No, I focus on those things that bring us the victory that we know is there for us in Christ Jesus. And so it's just good to see you here this Lord's Day morning. You don't let anything deter you from serving God. We know that there are those who want to try to cause us not to have the security that we feel that we should have in serving God. But you're here this morning, and you're here knowing that God has met you here in this place. I'd like for us to take just 2 minutes and let's stand and let's greet one another and welcome one another to this new year. Let's encourage one another as we go through this. Let's don't talk about the football games and about those things. Let's talk about those spiritual things now. Amen. Let's talk about those spiritual things. I want us to sing. And I want everybody to keep standing. And, you know, it's a song that where we lift our hands. All right, I don't know the name of it, but you know, but somewhere in that song we'll lift our hands. Amen. You know what I'm talking about now? All right, well, sing that song. Sing that song. All right.
They know it. They know it.
I'm glad I
That's
know
it.
You.
You. Come on, everybody.
Know you. Know you. I'm glad you know me. Know me. Know me. We praise our God. We're one big family.
We lift our hands
to reach the sky.
Sing it one more time. Come on, let's give it all we have now. Come on.
I'm glad I know you. I'm glad you know me. Me. We praise our God.
Why do we do it? Because we're what?
We're one big family. We lift our hands to reach the sky. And I am so glad.
glad you gave your life.
I want you to listen to this announcement. I have put this church in a situation that I just believed in you so strongly that I put our reputation on the line. I was at a conference in Harding, and I attended a workshop called Natural Evangelism. The one who was the presenter wrote a book called Natural Evangelism. Brother Jones, before I went to Harding, had given me the book to read. I read it. It was outstanding. So I went to the presentation because I knew the author was sharing from the book. His name is Matthew Morin. I was so overwhelmed, I invited him to come to do a workshop. I hadn't talked to Brother Jones. I hadn't talked to the elders. I hadn't talked to anybody. I mean, after you place a while, you know, you just feel like you can, you know, just. So I'm in a pickle because I told him that this church is so unique. Amen. That we are involved in evangelism in a way that really Amen. Makes us who we are. And so he's going to be here. And if you're not a part of that workshop, if y'all don't, I know you don't like going to workshop, but y'all need to come to this one because I have put us on. So y'all please show up for this workshop. That's on Saturday. Saturday the 18th. And then he's going to preach to us on Sunday. I believe it's going to make a difference in this church and in your response. So, we are being asked by Brother Jones to sign up for this workshop, and I'm asking you to do that. Please do that, and let's be here in good numbers where we can reap the benefits. I just think he's an outstanding young man, and I think he has a lot of energy that is going to bring a new vitality to our evangelism program. So I'm asking you, and you know, I don't usually ask you all a lot, do I? I don't ask a lot, right? Right? I don't. Okay. All right. I guess I do. All right. But anyway. All right. Okay. But anyway. All right. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 11 was read in your hearing. And I want you to count as I read it again. There's going to be at least 13 times that the word beloved, loved, is used, loved, beloved, and love. 13 times is going to be used between verse 7 and verse 11. Now let's read it. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God, knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Amen. Now, if you count beyond 7 through 11 and look at the whole chapter, he will use that word or a part of that word 29 times. So love is something that John is encouraging his readers, because he feels that this is something that is essential to our relationship with God and our relationship one with another. Now, this love that he speaks of has to be identified, because it's the word agape. Now, agape is different from the word eros, because eros simply means sexual or passionate love. It's different from philia, which is friendship and shared goodwill among people. It's different from storge, which is a familial love between family members, where you just naturally love your wife, your children, your father, your mother. That's a love. But agape love goes beyond these types of love experiences. Now, the Hollywood entertainment industry has locked in on eros, that love that highlights sexual, passionate, romantic love. Now, the world is in trouble, and the world needs an answer to all of the circumstances that you and I see daily in the news. I'm advocating to us today that the answer to the world's problems lies in our understanding, lies in our not only understanding, but our also being involved in not eros, not philia, not storge. Now, those are good, but you and I are going to have to learn, when the Bible says God is love, it is saying God is agape. God is not eros. God is not storge. God is agape. Are you with me? Now, agape is a term which, another word can be used, is charity. It's a verb, which means it's something that is being done. It's not a noun, it's a verb, it's an action. But this action is called charity. Now, in this reading, I just want you to take for a subject loving more like God in 2020. Now, that's my subject. Loving more like God in what? 2020. Which means that you and I are going to have to really lock in on what this agape love is all about. Now, in reading this passage, I recognize that there are certain dimensions of this love that gives us true understanding of what agape love is. Now, the first one is that there's a scope to it. Agape has a scope. In other words, it has a capacity that you and I need to understand and truly allow it to permeate us in a way that perhaps maybe you haven't let it do it in before, allowed it to do before. Not only does it have a scope, but it has an intention. I mean, it has an objective to it. In other words, it's not just acting, but it has an objective to what it is acting upon. And then thirdly, it has a condition. There's a condition, but it's going to show you that really it's unconditional. And then last of all, it makes a decision. And I want to show you when it makes its decision. Agape is God. Hear me well. God is agape. Agape is God. You don't know God unless you know agape. Unless you are born of God and you love like God, God said this is what determines whether you are truly in relationship with me. If I don't see agape in your life, if I don't see agape in your church, in your family, then what I'm saying is that God is not there. Say it again, Brother Gibbs. If agape is not in your life, in your family, in your work experience, in your environment, then God is not there. Because when God shows up, then agape is there. All right? Now, when I talk about agape love and I look at this passage, here's what jumps out at me. In that passage, he speaks in verse number 9. He says, in this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world. Now, the word world is the capacity. It's the scope. When I looked that word up, cosmos, it's talking about the universe. It's talking about mankind, but it's beyond just mankind. It's talking about all that God has made. Listen to me. The word world, cosmos, has in it beauty, arrangement. In other words, God is simply saying, everything that I have arranged, everything that I have beautified, I care about. God, listen, when God made light, he said it's good. When God made the firmament, he said it's good. When he divided the firmament and said, let the dry land appear, he said it was good. When he made the sun, the moon, the stars, he said it's good. When he put the birds in the air and put the fish in the sea, he said it's good. When he put the beast on the earth, the flowers, the trees, God said it's all good. And when he finished making man, God summed it up by saying, what I have done is very good. So his agape, listen to me well, his agape love extends beyond just mankind. God loves birds, fish, insects, bears, lions, snakes. When God says the world, he's talking about the universe. You and I, the problem that we have is that when we think in terms of the love of God, we only think narrowly. But if God is going to show the world that there's a better way in which to live, it's got to be where you and I understand the universality of God. God loves everybody. There's a scripture that teaches us over in Acts chapter 17 and verse number 26, how that God from one man and from one blood hath made all nations to dwell on all the face of the earth. So when I hear the word world, and I think about how God loves the world, it's beyond just me. God loves everybody. He loves the Chinese. He loves the Iranians. He has the same care for the Iranians that he has for Americans. But when you get to the point where you just feel like everything revolves around one group of people and one nationality, it's broader than just black people. God loves everybody. He loves white folk, brown folk, red folk. And if the love of God is going to spread into the world, you and I are going to have to understand that it's broader than just me. I tell you what happens in our families. Our families is that we get so caught up in just thinking that the world revolves around me. God is saying, no, it revolves around more than just you. I mean, I get past this point. Job had that problem. Listen to me well. Job had the problem. Hear what Job said. Job said, I don't understand why all this is happening to me. Now watch the argument that God gives him. God says to Job, he says, Job, listen to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? What he's trying to tell Job is that the world is bigger than you, Job. Job, I'm not just your God. I'm the God of the birds, the air, the snow, the rivers, the lakes. And if the world doesn't understand that it's bigger than just a certain group of people, amen, we're going to keep getting in trouble and allow hatred amen, become the very essence of how we dictate and how we respond to people. God made us like these. So I want you to think universally. Secondly, if it's agape love, it simply means that God is showing attention to another or others or everybody for the good of those individuals. Well, where did I get that from? In the text. This is what it says. It says in verse number 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world. Now here it is, that we might live through him. Focus on that we might what? Live through him. What I like about that, listen to me, is that God has shown intention toward his world, that his world might be able to benefit and receive the best, that you and I will be able to live out our very essence and our very purpose. And so when God loves, God has an intention of doing what is best, not for God, but for us. And that's why you and I need to understand that it's toward us. That's when the phrase says that God, the love of God toward us. God's love turns away from himself. This is the intent of love. Agape love turns away from itself and turns toward the object. If it's agape, it ain't about me. The whole intent has nothing to do about Shelton. If I got agape love, it's about you. It's about the other person. You know what's wrong with the world? Is that the world, instead of us looking at the other person, it's always about me. We tear up our homes because we sit in our homes and the whole mindset is what's not going my way. What I'm not receiving. What I'm not getting. Well, if that's your thought and it's all about you, then that's not agape love. Because agape love never looks at itself. Agape love always looks with the intent of doing good for the other person. Thirdly, agape love is not just universal. It's not just about the other person, but it's also unconditional. If it's God and it's agape love, it's unconditional. In other words, for me to express goodness toward you does not depend on you having certain criteria and certain. Somebody says, well, I'm not going to waste my time on somebody who's not going to receive it. Well, then that thought is not God. God doesn't think like that. When you look at God, here's how the love of God operates. The Bible says in verse number 9, in this the love of God was manifest toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love. Watch this. Not that we love God. Hold it, preacher. Not that we love God. He loved us. Well, brother, what are you saying? I'm simply trying to show you that agape love never focuses in on itself. It always focuses on the other person. And it's about us. And it's unconditional. Well, watch this. How do I know it's unconditional? Because the Bible says in that same verse that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Now that lets me know. That lets me know that when God loved me while I was a sinner. That lets me know that the good that he did toward me was for my lack of doing his will. Listen to the scripture. Romans 5, verse number 6. While we were without strength, when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Well, when did you show agape love toward me? When I was without strength. When I was ungodly. Verse number 5 of Romans chapter, verse number 8 rather, of Romans chapter 5. Watch what the Bible says. But God, what? Demonstrated his what? His love, what? Watch the word. He demonstrated it what? Toward us in that what? Wait, I want to deal with the word while. While what? So the while means that when I was in sin, when did God move toward me? While I was in sin, while I was doing wrong. If agape is the love that God is and wants demonstrated, it has to be a love that is manifest, that is shown while the individual that is receiving that benefit from you is unlovable, is ungodly, is a sinner. Some of us think that God is only going to love individuals that are righteous, that are pleasing to him. No, 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 no. The God that I serve is a God who loves us in spite of who we are, unconditionally. He proved it in the parable concerning the prodigal son. God is the father. And that boy that wasted his father's substance is us. God the Father never stopped loving that boy. He loved him when he was at home. Loved him when he went into that hog pen. Loved him when he wasted his goods. Loved him, showing good toward him. So when the boy finally came to himself and said, I will go back to my father, and I know that he has enough food for me and his servants. And I will say to my father, watch this. I will say to my father, I have sinned and no longer worthy to be called thy son. When that boy made up his mind that he was going home, listen to me well. On his way home, he has never talked to his father concerning what his desire was. The father, y'all got this last week, I know. The father was looking for the boy. So when the boy came up the road, the father saw him before the boy saw the father. And the father ran to the boy and hugged the boy, kissed the boy, and said, bring forth a ring, put it on his finger, shoes on his feet, a robe on his back. Kill the fatted calf. This is God showing us that while we are yet sinners, that God loves us. Some of us are tearing up our homes, divorcing, separating, because we are so involved in the world revolving around us and our needs. But if you're going to save your marriage, save your family, you're going to have to learn that agape love never looks at self. It always looks to the benefit of the other person. And while they're in the midst of their weakness and their sin, you still have to show love and do good toward those individuals. You know, I know it's cliche-ish, but it's right. I know sometimes Sister Gibbs really doesn't feel like cooking. And I feel like she ought to cook all of the time. Now, I know this. Now, I can go home and I can say, you mean you haven't cooked? And see, she's retired, so she's been home all day. Am I right about it? And I'm going to walk in and she's going to say, well, I just didn't feel like it today. Wait a minute. You've been home all day. How come you didn't feel like cooking? But listen to this. If agape love goes home and he sees that the wife has not cooked, now if God goes into that house along with that husband, which is me, and agape takes over, I walk in and I say, you haven't cooked yet? Now watch agape. She says, no, I haven't cooked yet. Agape says, well, why? I didn't feel like cooking. Agape says, well, what's wrong with you, baby? Is there something I can do? Can I help you, baby? You know, to help you feel better? Now that's agape talking now. She said, well, I don't know. It's just something going on. And I say, well, but let's talk about it. In other words, dinner's not even on my mind. I'm no longer worried about dinner. I'm worried about my baby. So I crawl up in the bed with her And if she's crying, I cry along with her. I say, I don't know what I'm crying for, but if you're crying, I'm crying. Am I right about it? That's agape talking now. Am I right about it? Agape reaches over there and hugs her. Uh-huh, pulls her in and hugs on her and say, hey, baby, come on, your man is here now. Am I right about it? I tell you what, when agape gets through, amen, we got lunch, dinner, breakfast, and got a snack at night. Am I right about it? Amen, walls in life. Now that's agape talking. Amen, I need to quit. Oh man, agape is something else. Agape knows how to get things done. Man, if agape went to the White House, how do you think the world would be? If agape went I better stay out of there. But anyway, I'm just saying, see, you know, God loves everybody. That's a certain way that God wants us to deal with one another. And so as I close, here's what I know about agape. Let me close it now. Agape does not do as we did when we were playing in school. Sometimes when you had two teams, you had to flip a coin as to see who would go first. And then you would call heads or tails. Well, when you won the toss, then that meant who would go first. Well, here's what I know about agape. Agape love never wants to flip a coin. Agape love never insists that you go first. Agape love always moves first. Agape love has already initiated, made a decision of what it's going to do, even in the midst of that which is sinful, negative, and in violation of what God would have. God still sends his rain on the just and the unjust. God doesn't put a condition on that unjust man and say, I'm going to hold back my rain if you don't do this and you don't do that. God has already initiated and caused that rain. Don't discriminate. Rain in the unjust man's yard. Rain in the righteous man's yard. I'm telling you, when you think in terms of this agape love, agape always moves first. God moved on behalf of mankind long before man ever sinned in the Garden of Eden. God had already decided that I'm going to save man from his sin by sending my son into the world. I'm sending him that the world may be able to live through him. Sending him that he might be the propitiation of our sin. What led him to the cross? Didn't have to flip a coin when I came into the world. I came knowing that I'm on my way to Calvary's cross. Tell me, when Peter tried to stop him, Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Why? Because I've already made a decision that I'm on my way to Calvary and I'm going to give my life for the sins of the world. Brag, man, if you want to. Tell me about your tall building. Brag about all of your big bridges that span ties. Tell me about your mighty bombs that bomb here and there. Tell me about your smartphones. Tell me about your smart houses. Tell me about your smart automobiles. Tell me about all of your innovations and all of your technology. Tell me how smart you are. But I got news for you. Nobody can touch God Almighty. God is greater than any man. Am I right about it? When man can do what God does, tell me what you do, God. God says, I can separate a river, a bed of water. God separated the Red Sea. God turned around, stopped the sun. Am I right about it? from shining on the day that Jesus died. Even stopped the sun in his cycle and made sure that Joshua had enough time to finish his battle. Tell me, God, what good are you? I'm so good that I gave redemption to a sinner. I turned a sinner into a saint. Tell me, how good are you? I turned a victim into a victor. Am I right about it? God, you're a mighty good God. Oh, Lord God, I know that God is a mighty good God. When I think about him, I'm just overwhelmed. Let the world be overwhelmed with the love of God Almighty. Love, go to Washington. Love, go to the city hall. Love, go to the community. Love, go in our home. Love, go into every aspect of the world. And I guarantee you that the world will be a better place when agape love arrives. And agape love, which is God, has permeated the whole atmosphere and the environment where men live. That's my plea. That's what I'm asking in 2020. May agape love become that which is God in 2020 in our lives, perfecting who God really is. If you're here this morning and you have not exemplified the love of God, I'm asking you to do that. I'm asking you to give your life to him. I'm asking you to learn. Now, this kind of love is not taught in school. This kind of love, you won't be able to buy from Walmart. This kind of love I'm talking about doesn't come in bottles, but it comes from the Holy Spirit of God. And if you give your life to the Lord, and I pray that you'll do that, and let his Spirit come into you, that'll be one of the fruits of the Spirit. And that is the love of Almighty God. Watch how it perfects. Watch how it holds all things in your life together for the good that God is bringing in your life. If you're here, you've heard the word. Believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sin. Confess Christ to be the Son of God. Buried with him in the water grave of baptism. That will rid you of your sin. That's the whole purpose of God sending him into the world. But you got to identify with him in the watery grave of baptism. That's where your sins are remitted. When you come up, you'll be a brand new creature in Christ. Start the new year off as a new creation in God. New year, new creation. New year, new person. New year, person that is bringing the love of God back into the environment in which we live. If we do that, we'll have a much better world. Will you come to Jesus today? Come right now, while together we stand and sing. Will you come?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? You washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you?